How many of you got to see any of the Azuzanal event yesterday? Oh my gosh, it was so amazing. It was really, really good, very significant, and very empowering. And where they went with the whole event to release healings and words of knowledge, Sean Bowles got up and started calling out real specific things, naming people, names of couples. I mean, he was out there with just waiting on the Lord and getting a prophetic word and calling out names and people. And they'd find them in this stadium of, I don't know what there were there, 80, 90,000 people. I'm not sure what the amount was. I know the stadium can hold 93,000. And the top row was not filled, but it was raining all day. But anyways, amazing. And these people would show up and they, you know, he would have their names and the names of their children, address. And I mean, he's not doing this pridefully. He's doing it very, you know, he was as excited as they were when he was right, you know, did it that way. And so lots of good things. A lot of healings took place. Real significant things took place. And we need to really always be careful to create a backdrop of testimony. It's so important. And we need to give ourselves to creating that in our own lives and households, the backdrop. You know, you all have a, what do you call it on your phone, your computer, a screensaver or the background, wallpaper. Yeah, the wallpaper, the background. There's always an image behind that. And we need to always have an image, you know, in our lives that is, it is testimony. And the reality of the power of the Lord. If we bring our problems, this is one of the reasons we get heavy-hearted. You can feel the wind go out of your sails. When you start meditating on the stuff of your life, we all got stuff. How can y'all just acknowledge, yeah, I got stuff. Okay. So we're in good company. We all got stuff. You start to meditate on that. If you're not careful, it becomes the background in your life. Wallpaper. It's all you see. Through everything else, you see this stuff. And that's dangerous. We always, in the church, in a meeting, we want to develop this. It's not that we can't bring the problems, but the wallpaper's got to stay up. The testimony of the Lord, that he overwhelms us, that he is good, that he provides, that he heals. If you don't do that, then you're only complaining or you're only talking about what's wrong. And we can even call it prayer requests. And I just hear me. Don't be offended, but hear this. It's important. You'll find yourself very discouraged and you'll be like, why? I'll tell you. Because you forget the testimony. And we've been learning this a lot. Bill Johnson has been excellent to encourage us to give testimony, establish the testimony in your life. Keep going back over what he's done. So this week, when you're facing the reality of your stuff, will you take some time to remember what he's done in the past? You're not going to want to, you don't remember it at the time the new stuff's coming. It's not what your flesh wants to do. Your flesh is your flesh. It just wants to declare the difficulties and why me and why is this happening here and nobody else, you know, wherever we go. So I just wanted to say that we want to keep this in the forefront of the goodness of God and what he does and what he has done. Then when we share things that are problems, we're sharing them into the atmosphere of but God. But God can help. If we're talking about our nation, and that's if you missed this event yesterday, I mean, I had been longing to see it, and we finally found a way to watch it. Phyllis and I did, and we were able to watch it all day. And oh my gosh! And there were just so many good things. So it's very, very uplifting, very positive, very, you were very much aware that the Lord's not done with anybody yet. He's not done with our nation yet. He's not done with anything. And we've been in these places before where there's, you know, hopelessness all around, and it doesn't look like things can get good again. And we've been there before. What was the year that they named Phyllis? It was 42 years ago that we were exactly in this place. 40 years ago that, and that was it the news media? I mean, they literally would printed things that just described the hopelessness of where we were in the riots. We were in the all of the negative things, and stuff was just going on. And it's like we're in a bad place as a nation. And a cry goes out, and the Lord can turn this. And what was the phrase that Dutch Sheets came up with, the Lord gave him? Who can help me? He has a flag. It has an evergreen that had very significance. Cindy Vincent, of course you know.
It's an appeal to heaven.
Appeal to heaven.
The words are everlasting and evergreen.
Yes. Yes, everlasting and evergreen. And that had to do with a vision that he had. But this appeal to heaven was the phrase. And it came from the fact that when everything else has failed, then you make an appeal to God. Was it the early soldiers and one of the leaders gave to the soldiers? I wish I had a better memory. I could remember the story better. That was given to the soldiers in the midst of the early wars and difficulties. And when all else fails, you make an appeal to God. When you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that, then you make this appeal to heaven. And it's awesome. It was great. This week, I woke up and the Lord just instructed me to start studying wisdom. Like it was just kind of a clear mandate, you know, like study wisdom. And I woke up with it like, okay, I know exactly where to go. And if the Lord told you to study wisdom and get an upgrade on wisdom, where would you go? You know, go to Proverbs. Go there. That's what this whole book is about. And the focus of this book is on that. Also, often I remember this. And again, in our complaint, we'll complain. This is why it's important to keep the backdrop, the background correct. You'll be overwhelmed. We will look at our circumstances. We will, maybe you've even gotten a lot of advice and nothing seems to work, you know, when you're in that time. And so all you want to do is go declare that. So we do, we preach that. Nothing's working. It's funny where we go with that. It's not even logical, but we go there. Somebody tries to encourage you. You're like, no, it's bad. I mean, you're adamant about it. No, I'm not kidding you. This is hopeless. This is bad. This is ridiculous. I lost my train of thought being cute. I gotta stop that. Just slap yourself. Oh, I don't know. Chapter 8. I started reading in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Proverbs. I'm gonna mess with you again. I'm sorry. I'm gonna read out of my Passion Translation. I feel really bad for you if you too don't have a Passion Translation of Proverbs. But you can get one. And so I love what Brian Simmons has done with all of all the books of the Bible that he's been translating. I became intrigued again with wisdom. Wisdom is the only attribute that I know that gets personified in the scriptures. Meaning it becomes a person and you're like, who is this that was with God and danced at creation and was there here, there, there, the artist and the architect. Like, who was this? Who is this? And then about the time you're sure that it's Jesus, we use the feminine her, she, whatever. Like, oh boy, I'm really confused. I'm not going to solve that mystery for you today.
That's wise.
No, see, I'm getting it already. See how wise I'm getting? Listen as I read. There's a lot of reason for this. It's always a good thing to come back to. Can you hear the voice of wisdom? From the top of the mountains of influence, she speaks into the gateways of the glorious city. At the place where pathways merge, at the entrance of every portal, there she stands, ready to impart understanding, shouting aloud to all who enter, preaching her sermon to those who will listen. Verse 4, I'm calling to you, sons of Adam, yes, and to your daughters as well. Listen to me, and you will be prudent and wise. Well, I'm getting a lot of feedback up here, Craig. I don't know if you can hear that. Even the foolish and feeble can receive an understanding heart that will change their inner being. The meaning of my words will release within you revelation for you to reign in life. My lyrics will empower you to live by what is right. So right away, here in verse 6, the meaning of my words will release within you revelation for you to reign in life. So we have this word very clearly that is talking about being overcoming, not being the victim, not being run over by life, not being overwhelmed by what comes at you. We all have these difficulties and these challenges. What do I do here? What do I do there? It's not about avoiding those. It's not about feeling bad about, over having those difficulties. When we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we say, oh, no one else is between a rock and a hard place. You're probably wrong. This is what I loved about the Azusa Now event. These men, every men and women that were up front, a lot of them really gave testimony to the reality of the difficulties and the things they've had to work through, even right up to the point of the event. It was neat stuff. They were really humbling themselves. That they were there was a testimony of offenses among leaders that had lasted for, that had been there for 6 years or better, denominational people group offenses and different things. And they're coming, and instead of saying, oh, we don't have a problem, they're acknowledging those. A lot of men falling down, kissing as an act of washing someone's feet, kissing someone another leader's feet. You just don't do that to people you don't like. I mean, just think about it. Going to the next family reunion and kissing somebody's feet that you don't like very well. There, gotcha, didn't I? It's not the stranger that's that hard to love. It's the one you know. Wisdom leads you this way. It leads you to the real keys and answers of your life. If you'll cry out for her, if you'll cry out for it, if you will value her, she will come. And you won't be in a quandary, and it'll teach you, empower you to reign in life. There's nothing worse in life than being feeling run over, feeling left out, feeling like you've missed it. Feeling like everybody else gets it and you don't. My lyrics will empower you to live by what is right. Verse 7, for everything I say is unquestionably true, and I refuse to endure the lies of lawlessness. My words will never lead you astray. All the declarations of my mouth can be trusted. They contain no twisted logic or perversion of the truth. All my words are clear and straightforward to all who possess spiritual understanding. If you have an open mind, you'll receive revelation knowledge. My wise correction is more valuable than silver or gold. The finest gold is nothing compared to the revelation knowledge I can impart. Now this becomes, it will get your attention eventually. We read this, And we're like, sure, I still wouldn't mind some gold and silver. I still wouldn't mind an upgrade on that. Life would still be better if I could pay my bills, if I had what I needed, whatever your need is, whatever form it takes. But what this is saying is that gaining wisdom, getting wisdom, is more valuable than that. It's more valuable than the thing you think a lot about, if only I had. If only I had a better insurance company. If only I had a better church. If only I had. And we're often, again, we're putting up on the big screen what I need without the background of God provides and he has what I need. And so the instruction here is that wisdom is what you need, even though you may not think that at first. Got relationship problems? You need wisdom. Got financial problems? You got wisdom. Got problems in the neighborhood? You need wisdom. It is the answer to what you need, though at first, I agree, it won't. You'll be like, oh, don't tell me that. I don't need wisdom. I need such and such to change. Verse 12, wisdom is so priceless that exceeds the value of any jewel. Nothing you could wish for can equal her, for I am wisdom and I am shrewd and intelligent. I have at my disposal living understanding to devise a plan for your life. Wisdom pours into you when you begin, it explains. But I want to back up. I don't want to get into verse 13 yet. I am wisdom. I am shrewd and intelligent. I have at my disposal living understanding to devise a plan for your life. How many of you know when you're hard-pressed, we don't need to minimize what you're going through? If you share it with me, I'd be like, whoa, that's tough. Yeah, that's hard. And you say, and I've been dealing with this for 25 years. Yeah, that's hard. And I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried the other thing. Ah, wow, that's rough. I don't know what you should do. I can empathize with you. It won't help, but I can say, yeah, wow, I don't know. But here is an instruction, and I want to, again, I'm sharing this because I believe we need to turn our attention to this. Because on any given day, we can all sit here and do the songs and do the fellowship and do what we do and not have this, not be doing this. It's not okay to not do it anymore. It's not okay to not get answers. It's not okay to not turn to heaven and go, I know you've got the answer. I know where my help comes from. And I love this. I'm wisdom. I'm shrewd. I'm intelligent. I could use that. You know, when you're feeling duped by everything, when you're feeling, I'm not smart enough to figure this out. When you've tried and you've tried and you feel you're aware of what you don't have, don't stop there. That's only good for you going, I need help, and sending you on a search. It's not good for staying in. Now, verse 13, it says, wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life. Ooh. Okay. We just got a key about how to get wisdom, how to open up for more wisdom to come. This is my sharing today is not exhaustive in any way, shape, or form. Very limited and very introductory. So I'm sitting and everything I'm reading, because I've been instructed by the Lord to read this, and you get to go where I go. Joy. Okay. Hot spot, out comes the yellow highlighter. If Phyllis has a book, she writes, you know, she puts lines on her things. And if I get the book, I use my yellow highlighter. So our books look like scribbled over, lines drawn through and highlighted, you know, if we share books. We try not to do that much, huh, Phil? Like, my book, your book, so we have our names on things. okay, I just got a key. How do I do this? I love, and some of you are on this journey, so without using your names, I'm just going to say, I love when I see this in our body. When you as individuals are going after stuff and you're seeing things that are not good. This is the meat. When we're getting into our attitudes that are bad, the little sin, this is where it all starts. The little bitternesses, the little resentments, the little... Phyllis and I was just acknowledging this. It took me a couple days to get here, so. We were at a leaders meeting this week in Mansfield. We went out together, a couple pastors, leaders that just gathered together, no agenda, just fellowshipping together, pray for one another, whatever comes up. I found myself, it's a great opportunity to tell your story. Somebody is going through something, so out it comes. Oh yeah, I experienced that, or I was here, or I was there. And how many of you know, sometimes it doesn't take much to, you know, key words, and it'll spark up your story. This is actually good. I don't like it, but it's actually a good thing. This is when you find out that you have something unresolved that you think, oh no, I'm good. And it was one of the mandates in the Azusa Now the whole day. They just kept encouraging you. This is the season to make things right. This is the season of time. Be very, very aggressive about this. If you need to forgive somebody, if you've wounded somebody, if there's something odd with someone, go after this. Find a way. Use wisdom. Nobody else can tell you how to do that, but this is between you and the Spirit. And the Spirit, it's not okay to have it there. So find a way. If you can't, there's certain things I go, well, we can't agree. That can leave you in a bad place for a long time. How many of you know that? I'd fix it if I could agree with them. I'd fix it if I thought they could understand what my issues were. Then I'd go, whatever. What do you do with that? And, we've got to find this place, and men of great integrity were sharing. Things you just have to let go. You've got to find another way for that, to get released from that, and to release people from that and be released from it. And so I was in a conversation, and I started talking a lot, and Phyllis picked up on it, but you know how your wife usually sees things before you do. And I'm like, no, I can blah, blah, blah about this. We've been having maybe it's what the sports guys do in the locker room. You go in, you go, oh man, we can't do that again. You know, we got killed when we run that play. You know, I'm tired of getting killed. Let's not do that anymore. Next time we have an invitation to go into that situation, let's say no. Let's just go, no thanks. I'll choose life. There's nothing to say anymore. I've gotten into traps so many times. I fell into another thing, but I didn't recognize it. But I knew it exposed something, though. Exposed an area. I'm still not sure what to do with this, but now that it's there in the open, I'll sit before the Lord and go, how bad is this going to hurt? It's one of those things. How long? It's not, will I bleed? It's, how long will I bleed? You know? could you tell me the level of pain when I, you know, that kind of thing. It was a little hidden thing. I thought I was okay. And then I went by this morning, we were having this conversation. I'm like, I can't, there's still something there. It's from the past. And so I went, okay, this is the beginning. But I need wisdom in this, but I'm willing to. I'm looking at this phrase, and I've been meditating on this week, and the first key to getting wisdom is to begin to hate every form of evil. Don't make excuses for things in your heart. Don't make excuses for attitudes you have. Don't make excuses for things that really aren't legal. Now, Jesus loves you. His compassion is there. Crawl up on Daddy's lap. Don't let anything cause you to run and hide from him. if Adam and Eve would have only immediately come and go, Daddy, we screwed up. That snake deceived us. But instead, the hiding, the shame, the, you know, they ran from him. If we can come, and so this phrase, hating every form of evil, is when you start getting serious about everything that you know doesn't please him. And instead of ignoring it and justifying it being there, you go, I don't know what the answer to this is, but it's no good. This has got to go. And so instead of trying to even fix it yourself, you go to the Lord with it. Ask his help. Go, I can't promise I won't do that anymore. I can't promise I won't feel this way anymore. How many of you know that's futile? You can make great, like, I'm done with this. I'm never going to whatever again. I'm never going to feel this way again. I'm not never going to react that way again. Save it. Just spare yourself the agony. Just save it. You need help. The most powerful thing you can do is say, oh, this is ugly. Will you help? That's the best thing you can do. Oh, I see this. It stinks. It's whatever. I've been wondering what stinks in the house, you know? And you come and you adopt this position where you start to hate every form of evil, every attitude that's wrong, every thought process that's wrong, every justification that shows you're hiding something, justifying yourself. And you just get serious about it. You don't have to dig much. The Spirit will it'll show up real quick. Once you go, show me, it'll start coming. You don't have to look hard. That you get that attitude, I want to see. I want to see what's happening. So you start to hate every form of evil in your life. This is about hating yourself. This is just about acknowledging what you know is illegal. For that's what worship and fearing God is all about. You will discover that your pompous pride and perverse speech are the very ways of wickedness that I hate. I went, okay, I can pull over. Right here. I'm just sitting on a couch, but I can just pull over and stop here. Now, you have two choices. We're looking, and I'm not going to go a lot further today. You've got two choices right here. We go, here's the key. Start to hate evil, every form of evil in your life. Go, okay, I need to. You know how you hate things. You see something you don't like. What do? You go, oh. We know how to do it. We see somebody we don't like, we go, oh, see? Do that to evil. And hate every form of evil. Not evil people, but evil. Don't get caught. And start to go, no. You can say that. Do you know you can tell yourself that? Some of you don't believe in talking to yourself. I encourage it. Just talk the right way. And a thought comes up. I'm thinking things before I have a chance to get a hold of it. I mean, I can be way down, you know, down the road into, you know, Cinderellaville or wherever. I mean, I'm down the storyline before I even catch things half the time. But when you do, just say no. Go, whoa, no. I've caught myself going, no. That's hating. That's like, no. Stop. Pompous pride. Do you know the only way that you can criticize, judge, do a lot of other things that Jesus said, don't do this? I mean, we can just go with that for simplification. Jesus, he probably is the personification of wisdom. I mean, he fits the bill. John 1, he's there with the Father in the beginning. He's there. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Trinity is such a mystery to us. I was going to tell you, you're going to struggle with figuring that out for the rest of your life. So don't ever think you're going to get that put it, get it pocket size and stick it in your pocket like your iPhone. You just, it's not going to happen. You're going to have some language for it, I hope. I hope we all have some language for the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're one, they're three, they're one, they're three, they're one. But you're only going to get to a certain level. It's going to take eternity for us to really grasp that. And that's fine. And wisdom is personified. So wisdom is more than just a, and Jesus gets wisdom in Isaiah 11, 2. It's part of the six, sevenfold things of the Spirit, you know, that comes on Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom. We need wisdom. You cannot criticize, judge, have an attitude, etc., without being prideful. Simply defined, thinking more of your better of yourself than you should. You just can't even begin to go there till you've got, well, I'm not going to stand on the stool just to save myself the embarrassment, but my water ball is on there. That's why I'm not going to stand up on there. You truly have to take an elevated position, which is illegal. That's pride. And so you feel better about yourself so you can look down at everybody. There, I'm feeling better now. I'm higher than you. That's a challenge being around any of the Koppelmans. You do have to get on a stool. Here's a key. Here's two things that I hate. Here's two forms of evil you need to just go, yuck, yuck, yuck. This has got to go. And it's that prideful being, that pompous pride. So I don't have to go any further with that, right? You get it? And about the time you say you don't have any pride, just give it a moment. Say, Jesus, do I have pride? Just wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Ooh, oh. The second thing is perverse speech. Now, where we normally go with this is don't swear, don't say bad words. And honestly, if some of you have a potty mouth, just will you clean that up? Like, don't. Stop it. I'm sitting pondering this, and I'm asking the question between me and the Lord. I'm not trying to say, oh, I don't have a problem with that. I'm looking and reading going, how does that apply to me? Why did I wake up the other morning and said, read wisdom? And so I'm reading and I'm looking and I see this and I know there's something here. I'm not exactly sure how to define that for me, but I'm not going to move on because there's something here. So I look up. Where did I put it? It's in my notes. The core definition for perversion. I know how we typically define it, but I'm like, what is really the most core definition of what perversion or being perverse is? Here's what it is. The alteration of something from its original course, from its original meaning, its original state, to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended. And so its perversion is using something that was intended for one thing and using it for a wrong thing, using it in the wrong way. So that's the core. And so now let's apply that to speech. So when we use our mouths and our speech to do something that was not the original intent, then that is a perversion of our ability to speak and declare. You understand, I know we have parakeets, parrots that we teach to talk, but they're just imitating. You all get that, don't you? Polly doesn't really know what he's talking about. Polly won a cracker. Actually, Polly wants, you know, some bird seed or a piece of fruit. What was your speech? I'm looking to this and I'm saying, okay, what does wisdom say? What is speech? What was the original intent? How did the Father use speech? We're very unique to have this ability to speak and speak with intelligence and speak with our free will. I don't know who came up with that. I wouldn't have. Do you understand? We'd all probably been better off if God would have made us and like, and it come to the mouth and the tongue and the, and it's like, you know, maybe between the Trinity, there was a discussion about that. Should we really? This is, because in the atmosphere of heaven and the supernatural, speech is a big deal, isn't it? What did God do? How did he create you? How did he make all of this? Magic wand? No. The original intent from the creator for this, because he wasn't created, creator, was he spoke things into speech, was the creative declaration. It was intended to bring things and speak things into being that were not. To speak things that, as though they were, that, you know, that weren't yet. Our speech was intended to create, to bring well-being. Like, just, wow, where could we all could we go with this? That's the original intent. When you're using this for everything else, we're back to Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, you know. And I went, whew, that's convicting. I need a lot of help and grace, but at least I see the problem. I'm not going to walk around going, it doesn't matter. It matters. You're carrying about with you, with your mouth and your ability to speak and choose what you speak, an incredible power and wisdom speaking. If we give it a chance, give wisdom an audience, wisdom says, we got to deal with your mouth. We've got to deal with your attitude, your pride, how you view yourself. You need to view yourself the way the Father views. See, this is why it's not just that being high is bad, so being low is good. Thinking nothing of yourself or the other end of that, that's not the answer either. It's wisdom says, stand in the position the Father tells you to stand in. Be who he declares you are. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're loved. You don't have to perform. You're mine. I love you. You have value just because you were born into my household. You have value because you said yes to my son. I mean, you can't get any better than that. When you say yes to his son and you believe in his son, you believe, wow, you are in. He's like, oh my gosh, you believed in my son. And the same with our speech. So there, we need to get a revelation about what, where. And wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is understanding this, hating every form of evil and coming to a place where we go, I want to grasp. Wisdom will teach us. I'm going to close with this scripture. I went a little longer than I wanted to. Boy, it's quiet. Thank you, Phyllis. Phyllis likes the quiet. This is Ephesians chapter 3. It builds up to this, verse 8, verse 9. I'll start in verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Verse 10 is the key verse here. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God, the many faceted, all in, the wisdom of God will be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Just simply stated, just one main point. You can't make something known that you don't have. You can't make something known that you don't possess. You can try, but it'll be very empty. So wisdom is something I want to intrigue you today as an introduction. Maybe I'll continue on this. Be intrigued. There is something that all of us can have, and wisdom, it doesn't matter if you're simple, if you go, I don't know much. Wisdom even declares, in this chapter goes on, there's a lot of description in this thing about wisdom. And on one hand, it says it's more valuable than wealth and rubies and riches and pearls. It will come back around and go, it is the key to those things as well. Oh, now I've got your attention. But that's fine. Why do you want wealth so that you can have provision? You want this. Of course you would. Of course we do. That's not the problem. It's wanting it before we have this. And if you don't have this and you get that, you'll squander it. It'll just get you in trouble. You'll just misuse it. Wisdom is the key. Wisdom primary. Wisdom brings all of that stuff. And our mandate is to make known the manifold wisdom. And the world is hungry for wisdom, just like I said, Sarah shared with me, one of her coworkers, when she's like, hey, you want me to pray for that? It's like the girl's like, yes, just boom. They're hungry. Pray for me. Touch the world. It's the church is struggling with this. The world's like, oh, yeah, prophetic word. I don't know what that is, but yeah, lay it on me. Say something good about me. That'd be nice for a change. All I hear is the other stuff. Say something good that is the truth, that rings true, that has eternity linked with it, that has the DNA of the Creator in it. I'll recognize it because I am created in His image, no matter how lost they are. They'll recognize the DNA of the Word, a Word that comes from Father. They awaken to it. They're alive. They're like, ah, yeah. So let's pray. I want to simply close this. Father, thank you for the day we have together. I would like to be on your team to help make known the manifold wisdom to the principalities, to the powers, to make this known because I carry it, I possess it, that I have wisdom, that wisdom rules inside of me, that wisdom leads me and guides me, that the abiding counselor is in me, believing, knowing that the spirit of wisdom was in Jesus, that Jesus may be the personification of wisdom itself. All of his words, if I embrace his words, they're true, they're right, they lead me to life, they don't lead me to death. They lead me in a good way and they will bring life. Let's open up my heart and I pursue something that you promise me I would find if I go after it. You promise me. There's promises in this portion of Proverbs. There's promises. If I seek you, I will find you. There is no never finding you if I seek you. There's only finding you. There's only having you. There's only being endued with you. And so I just cry out, I ask for wisdom. Give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me revelation so that I can stop living blindly and that I can live with a sense of direction. By you, rulers rule well, leaders lead well. You are the element. You're the element that gives me substance, life. So ask that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Get wisdom, get understanding. God bless all of you.